comes to yielding to the Spirit, and it's to prepare our hearts to get us ready so that we can truly be participators and not spectators in the coming meetings that we're having. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, as we start this morning, well, some things in this kind of teaching requires repetition for us to fully grasp and understand. It will amaze you that when it comes to the things of the Spirit, it takes some people years to catch on. It takes constant repetition before some people feel free enough in their understanding to actually participate. But this is not the kind of meeting that you stand aloof from. It's a kind of meeting that you find yourself yielding to everything that is taking place because you are a believer. It's a meeting strictly for believers. Well, unbelievers can come, but the major participators are believers. 1 Corinthians 14, are you there? I read from verse 23. It says, if therefore the whole church become together into one place and not speak with tongues. I'm trying to show you what kind of meeting this is, okay, that we're preparing for. It says, if therefore the whole church become together into one place. If therefore the whole church become together into one place. So we've established the fact that this place is not a church. This place is the building where the church gathers. Amen. So say we are the church. Say I'm a member of the body of Christ. I am the church of Jesus. So when we come together, it's a church that comes together. This building is a physical building that the spiritual entity fellowships in. That's the church. So it says, if therefore the whole church become together, it's talking about individual members. So it's talking about a particular kind of meeting. So it says, if therefore the whole church come together into one place, and all, and all speak with tongues. Now, remember, we're allowing the epistles to instruct us. The Bible says, if the old church become together, how do you know they are the old church? He said, if all speak with tongues. So it is assumed in the light of scriptures that if you're a member of the body of Christ, speaking in tongues is normal. It says, if the old church become together and all. So it's talking about an ability that is resident in everyone that's got a believer. So in the light of scripture, you cannot say, I can't. To say I can't will mean you are not a member of the body of Christ. Membership in the body means you can't speak with tongues. Say I can't speak with tongues. Say I can't speak with tongues. Yes, you can. The Bible says if they all come together and all of you. So this takes away the argument that some can speak, some can speak. No. It's all of you speak with tongues. It's not asking if you can. It's a foregone conclusion that being members of the body, you actually can. Look at that 1 Corinthians 12. Let me show you something. Where do you get your ability to speak from? Look at chapter 12. Verse 12. Chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is what? Christ. Look at verse 18. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be born or free, have been all made to drink into what? One Spirit. Say we have one Spirit. Say the Spirit that dwells in me is the Spirit that dwells in you also. So Paul is teaching progressively. This is chapter 14 now. He's continuing the thought. He said, if therefore the old church become together into one place, he's about to describe a particular kind of meeting. And the description he gives for this kind of meeting, there are instructions concerning what we do when we come together, is one of the few meetings that when we come together, all members participate. There are different meetings that should take place in local assembly. The primary meeting in local assembly is teaching meetings. Okay? But teaching meetings are not the only meetings we do in the local assembly. We also have prayer meetings. Say amen. And one of the ways you show that you identify with the local assembly is to ensure that you are in the teaching meetings and you are in the prayer meetings. Without any of the two, you are not a disciple of Christ. Or neither do you fully identify with the local assembly. So the first two meetings and the most important meetings in local assembly are teaching meetings and then prayer meetings. And after those two meetings, we have evangelistic meetings, which usually occur side by side with healing meetings. And then the fourth kind of meeting are Holy Ghost meetings. And so, by the Spirit of God, the Apostle Paul is giving us instructions concerning this. He says, if the old church become together into one place, so it's a deliberate gathering with one focus. We want to have a particular kind of meeting. It's our participation that determines the kind of meeting we're going to have. It's not something that God decides. It's something that we decide, knowing that we have the Spirit that makes such a meeting possible. So he says, if therefore the whole church become together into one place. I'm reading from verse 23 now. And all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned, or one, unbelievers, will they not say that you are what? Mad. Hallelujah. So it tells us the identity of those. So there are things we come together to do in these kind of meetings. There is a category of people, those who are not schooled in spiritual realities, and then those who are not saved, they are likely to come to the same conclusion. So let me put it this way. Those who are unlearned are believers who are not trained in spiritual realities. And inside the Bible says they will come to the same conclusion as unbelievers and say, will they not conclude that you're mad? Why would they conclude? Because the things you're seeing, they don't understand. In 1 Corinthians 14 that we're reading in verse 2, it says, he that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men but unto God, for no man understandeth. So tongues is not meant for the understanding of men. Tongues is probably meant for fellowship with God. But then there is the interpretation of tongues that makes it possible for you to now have the treasure or the wisdom or what is packaged behind what was spoken in tongues. So it is normal for you to speak with tongues and people are wondering what you are doing. But the Bible says when we come together in one place and all speak with tongues, they all that are speaking are trained in spiritual realities. So nobody in our garden finds it strange. But if we have people who are untrained in spiritual realities and those who are unbelievers, when they come in, they will come to a different conclusion why they are not used to such exercise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it says all that come together can't speak. All that come together have the ability to express God. That's what it means. So in this series of meetings that we're teaching about yielding to the Spirit, we've been looking at your role and my role when it comes to flowing with the Spirit of God in meetings like this. So go back to Luke 24 again. That has really been our text, really. Luke 24 and 49. And I told us that the writer of Luke 24 is the same writer of the book of Acts. Okay, the writer of the book of Luke is the same one who wrote the book of Acts. So it's a you can actually put them side by side and glean more truths. So in Luke 24, verse 49, see what it says. And behold, I send what? The promise of my Father. Where? Where? But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be what? Endued with power from where? From on high. Amen. How many of you understand what on high means now? If you've been following this teaching, okay? Until you be endued. And then we said that the word endued in the original Greek is a verb that addresses the recipient. Okay, so to be endued is not God's responsibility. To be endued is what you do with what God has done. So he says, until you be endued, until you wear, you put on power from on high. That's what it means. It's a tarry. So the tarrying is not to wait for God. The tarrying is for you to get accustomed to how to yield to the power. Say amen. Then Acts chapter 1, now, verse 8. Look at what Jesus said. Remember, the same person wrote the two books. So the same person is telling us, look at what Jesus said. But you shall receive what? Power. Again, the word receive we define. And the one receive here means to take up power or to take from power. So he says, you shall receive. So if you read it in English, the way it sounds is like this. You are waiting passively for something to happen. But the word Jesus used when he says receive is the Greek word lambano. It means to take up something that's already available. So if you put it side by side with Luke chapter 24, what he's saying is this. He says, when you tarry, where you are seated, be conscious you're already seated with Christ on high. Where you are is where the power is. Say amen. You know, Paul, in teaching us in the epistles, brought more revelation to us. Paul told us in Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 16, says, we cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in our prayers. Okay? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation in the knowledge of him. Says the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the work of his might power, which he wrought or he accomplished in Christ when he did what? Raised him from the dead. So we said the power that raised Jesus from the dead is a power that made you a new creation. So by identification in the epistles, the day he was raised is the same way you were raised also. It wasn't raised again, you were raised separately, you were raised together, you were quickened together, you were made to sit out together. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, God has set him at the right hand far above all principalities and what? Power. So again, we explain the fact that far above is not a reference to a vertical height. That's so important. Because again, if you're just reading it in English, remember, the Bible was written in Eastern language. So, to a degree, the language that was used is the language that the Jews will understand. Okay, so, far above is not a vertical height. Far above is talking about a position of authority that supersedes every other spirit being. That's what it means. That means you can be seated here physically and be far above all principality and power. Say amen. Hallelujah. So, that when he said, far above all principality and power and every name and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in that which is to come. In chapter 2, he continues. He now says, and you also, which is, you are in that same position with him. So when Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. On high wasn't talking about God sending something from a vertical height. It was saying, now that you're a new creation. You couldn't be a new creation without the Spirit. Say amen. You can't be a new creation without the Spirit. Having the Spirit means you are a new creation. Say, I have the Spirit of God. I'm a new creation. Okay, Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Romans 8, verse 10. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So having the Spirit of Christ is how you became born again. That's what it means. So to be seated on high, Jesus is referring to where they are spiritually. He says, where you are now, sons, take up power. You can't be a son and have no power. It's not possible. You can't be a son and not have power. Because being a son, it took a process of power. There was power that brought you forth out of spiritual death into spiritual life. So power is where you are. So stop thinking of a physical location. Think spiritually that the reality of where you are now in Christ is that you are in power. Say, I'm in power. I'm in authority right now. So again, Acts chapter 1 verse 8 now. See what it says. But you shall what? Receive. Say, take up power. Say, I shall take up power. And after I take up power, the Holy Ghost will what? Come on me. Let me say that because, again, I said some things always need constant repetition. If you're still reading in the same way you used to read before, your conclusion will be wrong. You're waiting for the Holy Ghost to come upon you. Then you now receive. No, that's not what it's saying. It says, where you are already is where the Spirit is. Because you're seated with Christ. And that says, when you take up or you take from, it says, what you're going to do is this. We can't see on the outside that you have the Spirit. We can't tell. But what we want is, we want to see it on the outside that you have the Spirit. So you are going to demonstrate the Spirit or give proof that you have the Spirit. So it says, you will take up power. And after you take up power, the Holy Ghost will what? Come upon. The phrase upon is a terminology that refers to external demonstration of an inward reality. That's what it means. So you will take up power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon. You will not find it anywhere else outside of the writings of Luke. That's Luke's way of telling us about the demonstration of Spirit, such as speaking in tongues. So those who spoke in Acts chapter 2, what they did was they took power and they began to speak. Say amen. So there was no way for us to know that they had the Spirit until they began to speak. What were they doing? They took on power upon themselves until people could visibly see that these people were under the influence of something. Glory to God. So it says, you shall receive power or take up power. That's where the challenge is. Many times, many of us refuse to take up. We are unconsciously waiting for something to happen. And that's why sometimes it matters what you were taught after you got saved. It matters. It matters the process you went through to get filled with the Spirit. If you were taught is a ready-made experience, you already have the Spirit, we're only going to help you yield to the Spirit. Everything about flowing the Spirit will be easy. But if we're taught 7 steps of sanctification before the Spirit can come, you have a problem. You know what I mean? I saw a tract some years ago. And if you read that tract, you can never be saved. Salvation is far from you. Because that tract listed the things we need to forsake before Jesus can be the Lord of your life. Then you ask the question, if I forsake all this, is there anything left for Jesus to do? Nothing. There's nothing left. He is my Savior, my sanctifier. Now that I am now sanctified, I have become his Savior. You understand? So because if you have to forsake, it's because you couldn't forsake that you needed him. Say amen. is your savior. So the same way also, you know, the Holy Ghost can dwell in unclean vessels. I have news for you. You were unclean. He came to dwell and made you clean by his indwelling. The indwelling of the Spirit is what makes you what? Clean. You can never be clean by moral conduct. Moral conduct is external polishing. Until all of us think you are good, even though your thoughts are terribly evil. You understand? So the indwelling of the Spirit is our sanctification. That's how you become sanctified. It comes to dwell in you, then you are sanctified. That's separate. It doesn't teach you to forsake. Forsaking starts after you are already what? Sanctified by him. Say amen. Amen. That's the way the process works. So it says you shall receive or you shall take up power. That means there's a responsibility on your part, on my part. I do something with the power. He has handed over the power to us. Look at Acts chapter 2. And I showed us something. In Acts chapter 2, let's read verse 1 to 4 quickly. So we can continue today. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all one accord in one place. With one accord simply means they came together for a singular purpose to express the Spirit. They were following the structure of Jesus. What was the instruction? Tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued. How do you get endued? You put on power from one eye. That means when you are conscious, now act on the word. So they acted together because they were taught the same thing by the same teacher. Jesus taught them for 40 days about things concerning the kingdom, which are things concerning the Spirit. Hallelujah. So look at verse 2 now. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting next to us. And there appeared unto them one cloven tongue like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Verse 4. And they were all filled. Now let's change the word filled to, and they were all yielded to the Holy Ghost. Where were they sitting? Were they sitting in one accord? Where were they sitting? What is it? The upper room. The upper court. Okay, let's leave that one for today. They were all seated, right? Isn't it? Spiritually, were they seated on earth? Were they in Jerusalem? Spiritually, where were they seated? So a sound came from heaven. Where is heaven? Where is heaven? Where they were seated. So you are still thinking that the heavens opened. There was lightning. You're thinking like physical heaven. Where is heaven? Where they were what? Seated. Okay. Put your hand there. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Let me show you something. Because you see, these are the areas we need to overcome. So that once you understand the truth about this area, when it comes to yielding and flowing, there will be no struggle. Because I must move your mind away from Old Testament thinking. You're not Moses. Say, I'm not Moses. Moses loves who I am. Moses looks forward to people like me coming on the earth. That's so important. Matthew 16. Look at verse, let's read from verse 15. Look at what Jesus said. He was talking to his disciples, okay? We don't have time to go through all. But here's what Jesus said. He asked them. He said, whom say you that I am? So he had asked them, who do men say that I am? And then he gave him all kinds of suggestions. Then Jesus said, okay, let's leave others. What about you? You've been with me for 3.5 years. Who do you say that I am? Look at what they said. Look at what Jesus said. I mean, Peter said. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Next verse. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for what? Flesh and what? Blood. As not. What's another word for flesh and blood? Humanity, mankind. So this information, it didn't originate from the senses. This information, you didn't get it by observing me. It didn't come by physical observation. You didn't look at my lifestyle and conclude. This information came from a different source. So there's flesh and blood that belongs to the earth. The Bible says the heaven, even the heavens, belong to the Lord our God, but the earth has it what? Given to the children of men. So when it says flesh and blood are not revealed, the earth in its physical form didn't give you this information. Where did it come from? It says, but my Father, which is where? In heaven. Mm-hmm. When it says my Father, which is in heaven, how did Peter hear? Since God is in heaven. Where is God? Why are you quiet? Where is God? In heaven. I'm not taking you from heaven. No, well, you will make heaven. I assure you. You make heaven. Okay. Where is God? Where is he? In heaven. Where is the Father? Are they one and the same? Yes. Okay, good. Fine. Colossians 1:12. What does it say in Colossians 1:12? We need to settle this heaven matter. Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks to the Father, which has won, made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in The light. Okay, so it one meet is old English word for qualified. He has qualified us to be partakers. Then the next few verses tells us how he qualified us. Verse 13. Who has one deliver us from the power or authority of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of his dear? Where is the kingdom of his dear son? Where is the kingdom of his dear son? Is it here or in heaven? Is he here or in heaven? Wait, how many of you have been translated? How many of you are saved? How many of you are partakers of the inheritance? How many of you went to heaven the day you got born again? You mean you are born again? You mean you've been translated and you are still here? You know, it took place here because it's a spiritual reality. That means heaven, in the spiritual reference that's called heaven, exists side by side with the earth. It means you can be on earth and be in heaven at the same time. If you understand, let me see you. I'm talking about spiritual reality now, okay? So when Peter heard what he heard, where did he hear it? While he was still in the body, in the flesh, he was here. Peter didn't travel. He stood where he was. When you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you became what? Born again. Then the Bible now says, what just took place is that God just delivered you from the authority of darkness. You know, it's interesting. Some people that you go and preach for, they don't even know they are under the authority of darkness. When you tell them, Satan's your father, say, me, I belong to God. No. They are under the authority of Satan. And they don't even know. So it's talking about the spiritual reality, not the physical reality. The spiritual reality is that every unbeliever is under Satan's dominion and power. Yet, by confessing Jesus as Lord, there's a switch, there's a change. That means both kingdoms exist how? Side by side. And with the confession of faith, you can switch kingdoms. Say amen. So let me ask again. Spiritually, where is heaven? Where you are? Are you seated in heavenly places? With Christ Jesus. You are seated there. So where you are is what? Where the power is. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Alright, so where are we now? Go back to... So we've seen Jesus' statement to Peter when he said, you are Christ, Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father who is where? In him. So Peter heard from the realm of the Spirit and he understood and he spoke what he had by the realm of the Spirit. So let's go back to Acts chapter 2 now. Verse 4. And they were all filled with what? The Holy Ghost. Or they were all yielded to what? The Holy Ghost. And began to speak with one other tongues. How do we know that the word filled there is the one yielded? So 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2. There is a denomination that believes that they can only speak with tongues when the Spirit wants them to. There's nothing wrong with that belief. The only problem with that belief is this. They are waiting for the want to of the Spirit. They don't understand that by Jesus giving them the Spirit, is Jesus telling them the Spirit is always willing. Do you understand what I just said now? By you having the Spirit, is Jesus' way of telling you the Spirit is always what? Willing to find expression through you. So the person who is not always willing to speak is you. That's where the challenge is. And the only way you'll be willing is to get an understanding of God's word and who you are. Then you'll learn how to speak all the time or whenever you're ready to speak. The Bible says, he that speaks in tongues, the word unknown is italicized, speaks not unto men but unto God, for no man understandeth. Notice the word him is italicized. So it is not him that is speaking that we don't understand. It is what is being said that we don't what? Understand. So he says, for no man understandeth, how be it in the spirit is what? Speaketh mysteries. Contemporary English is in the spirit is making sense. But as long as he stays in the spirit, he's not talking to men. Because men cannot understand what is being said. Look at verse 14. Verse 14. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my what? Understanding is unfruitful. Next verse. Aha. Look at next verse. What is it then? Say, I will. Say, I will. Do you notice the word will has to do with your decision? The word will has to do with your decision. I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. The word also means in like manner. I will pray with the Spirit. And because I can pray with the Spirit, I will follow up with one understanding also. Really, what is really teaching this is, if I pray in the spirit, I will follow up with interpretation. That's what he's saying. But notice what also. Also means the same ability I have to pray with the spirit, the same ability I have to pray out the interpretation. That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. And use the word will. How do you start speaking in tongues? Will, by your will. Your will comes into submission to the word of God. Then you express tongues willingly. You are not made to do it. You chose to do it. Somebody says, why? Because you have the spirit. Say, I have the spirit. So he says, I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. Then I will what? Sing with the spirit. I will what? Sing with the understanding also. So notice that phrase, will, I will. It's extremely important when it comes to yielding to the spirit. Because this explains what happened in Acts chapter 2. They were all filled, or they were all yielded and began to speak. They began to speak. They were not made to speak. They began to speak. Why were they speaking? They yielded to the spirit. When you yield to the spirit, what happens? You are able to what? Speak. So to yield was a function of will. To speak was a function of will. To act based on what is said was a function of will. So let me put it this way. After you have the spirit, the ball is in your court. Hallelujah. The ball is in your court. After you have the spirit, you are not waiting for God. You are waiting on God. There's a difference. To wait for is to depend on somebody's activity to act. To wait on is to know that you have his ability which you cannot act on. Hallelujah. Let me give you an illustration. If I say that I'm waiting on God, now, what I'm actually seeing in New Testament is this. I will pray in tongues and listen to what comes out. Is tongues divine in origin? Is it divine in origin? So if I'm speaking in tongues, I can wait to see what will come out or what will follow it. It means that the ability is already there. To wait on means whatever it is that you're referring to as waiting on is something that you already have. To wait for is something that is yet to come. Yes or no? So if a waiter waits on you, where is the waiter? In front of you, about to take your orders. If you're waiting for a waiter, where will that be? Likely in the kitchen, taking your orders. You see the difference? So to wait on means you are in the presence of a reality. To wait for means the reality has yet to come. So Moses waited for the spirit. You are waiting on the spirit. Do you understand now? That's extremely important. Moses waited for the spirit. You are waiting on the spirit. There's a difference. That's why I shared with us 2-3 weeks ago that Isaiah 40 from verse 28 is a reference to New Testament reality. Have you not known, have you not heard that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, faith not neither is weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint. To those who have no might, he increases what? Strength. See what it says here. It says the youths. Next verse, please. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall what? Please pay attention to the active words that follow that statement. You said you are waiting on God. They didn't say they are waiting for. They are waiting on. So people that wait on, they are the ones who are going to act. If you wait for, the person you are waiting for is one who will do the what? Activity. Do you see the difference? So he said, then I wait on. Look at what they will do. They will renew their strength. The word renew means to exchange. To exchange strength. You are now running on divine fuel. That's a figure of speech. Okay. You are now running on divine fuel. Right? That's what you are waiting on. Look at what happens. He said, they shall renew. Not God shall renew. They shall renew. Why is it they? God has already given them what? Strength. So he says, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up. They shall run. They shall walk. Who does all that? The ones who have received. Say amen. So you notice to wait on is not waiting for. You are the one that does something to prove you are waiting on him. Hallelujah. So if you tell me now that when you come for Holy Ghost meeting, you're waiting on God, I expect you to shout. I expect you to jump. I expect you to run. If it's true, you are really waiting on. If you don't do any of the above, you don't speak, you don't prophesy, you don't speak with tongues, you are not waiting on, you are waiting for. You are reversing scripture. So to wait on is an activity. It's not passive. It means there's some things you will do because of the reality that has come to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew. They are the ones who exchange strength. They do certain things. So go back to that Acts chapter 2 now. Acts 2:4, they were all yielded with the Holy Ghost and began to notice that the first activity we see When people yield to the Spirit is what? They began to speak. So a believer's meeting, and sometimes a Holy Ghost meeting, is a meeting where we start out the meeting speaking. Most of what we will do, we will say it out. Instructions will be given, released. We will hear. When we are speaking, some will see. Some will supernaturally know. But by all means, we start the meeting most of the time by speaking. Can we start the meeting rejoicing? Perfectly, yes. Yeah. That's why it's a meeting where you can stand from anywhere. Anyone can start the meeting. It's a Holy Ghost meeting. The Spirit of God is leading, instructing, guiding, and directing. And manifestations of the Spirit are already inside every single member, ready to be expressed. How do you express? By faith. Hallelujah. How many of us are filled with the Spirit? Let me see. You are filled with the Spirit. You can speak with tongues. One, two, start. One, two, go. Start now. Stop. Now, to any other person who sits beside you, who doesn't understand, what you just said now will be like gibberish. Will the person be right? Yes. As far as man's thinking is concerned. Will the scripture be right? Yes. What does the scripture say? He that speaks in tongues, he's not speaking to men, he's speaking to who? To God. So you just spoke to God now. If you just spoke to God now, you are making sense where? In the Spirit. Are you making sense in the senses? No. So if you just make sense in the Spirit, when we follow the things you say, sense in the Spirit that will come out to the understanding, we'll know what to do next. So that means that the things we will do in this kind of meeting have a lot to do with what we see in our conversation with God. If you understand me, Sian. So he that speaketh is somebody who chooses to speak. He wants to start something. There are activities going on in your sin realm. Sometimes the best way to know what is going on is to awaken your senses. How do you awaken your senses? They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. So the Spirit is there. They began to speak. They began to speak means they initiated. And as they initiated, they saw there was a flow that continued. By the time they got to Acts 2, verse 17, verse 14, 15, 16, Peter had gotten up and began to explain to the multitude what was taking place. Why was he explaining? They started off speaking. All that things began to take place. Look at verse 14. But Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of what? Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem. You know, there's a question mark in people's minds about what took place on the day of Pentecost. People think it was a United Nations meeting. It's not. Everybody that was present was a Jew. Everybody. There were Jews living in several nations. Look at who Peter is addressing. So you tell, they didn't come from, they were not Greeks. So everybody understood, because those who spoke gave the interpretation in Jewish language and everybody understood. Look at who Peter addressed. You men of whom? Say it. Men of where? And all you that dwell at one? Jerusalem. Everybody present was a Jew. That's why everybody understood. They spoke in tongues. They interpreted. Interpretation was in Jewish language. Everybody what? Understood. So when they say men from different nations, it was Jews who were born where? Or living different. They were all Jews. Say amen. Say amen. You cannot find the doctrine here until you get to where Paul teaches us, if you pray in tongues, you also interpret. So they gave the interpretation the same way. But beyond interpretation, some things began to take place. Look at verse 13. Verse 12 now. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Next verse. Others mocking said, these men are full of... Okay. You can't be speaking tongues alone. And people will conclude, I am full of new wine. How many of you have seen people that are drunk before? You've seen people that are drunk. How many of you have seen people drunk? You people are very holy. You've never been around clubs. You've not seen people that are, you know. I grew up in the Badlands. I mean, this other person I saw was not even drunk. I think it was something close to LSD. How many of you know LSD? Okay. On the streets. Broad daylight. This is how he was walking. And he asked, what's going on? He said, the ground is high. I can't convince him otherwise, because the ground is really high. Who was really high? He was high. When people are drunk, The song they are singing, you cannot understand. The joke that they are cracking, you can't be in on it. Their dance doesn't have, it doesn't regulate with any pitch that you know. They are in their own world. Guess what? They are not ashamed. They're not ashamed. But when I say that, these men are full of new wine. The phrase new wine implies that which is undiluted. When wine is in the conch form, you know, it's diluted wine, so the effect is not that. But this one is toxic. If the intoxicating effect of this one is strong. So whatever activity these people saw was not just speaking. When somebody in one corner dancing by himself and nobody's playing keyboard, you know that he's in another world entirely. And they were in another world. So they got drunk where they were after they started speaking. That's what happens. And now says, so on that spoken side, these men are full of new wine. Look at the next verse. But Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. Go on, please. For these are not drunken as you want, suppose, serious, but the third hour of the day, verse 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet. This is the fulfillment of what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Next verse. And it shall come to pass when? The last day, said God, I will what? Pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall. In interpretation, this text is one of the most difficult to interpret. Because what it's really saying is, when I pour out my spirit, the implication is this. The ability to prophesy will be inside every son and every daughter. So, when I pour out my spirit, what pour out means to give in such a way that nothing is left to give. To pour out, to empty out my spirit. So, he says, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters, in response to what has been done, she shall what? Now, will you see the spirit being poured out? No. What will you see? Men prophesy. Glory to God. Will you see the spirit being poured out? No. What will you see? Men prophesying. Look at Acts chapter 10. We'll come back here. This foundation is extremely important. Acts 10, verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that which had the word. Now, again, if you read Luke's account, this is Luke writing, and Luke uses the word fell on. So, how many of you have had images in your mind when you're reading this? That, what can I use now? Sister Titi is holy. So let's use Sister Titi. And this really goes. You just. I mean, you are dying me. But in the 90s, that's how I felt. That you all fell. Thank God for people that led. Because me that I got saved in the same hall where I got saved. 1988, he just led us. He just got off you with the Spirit. If I stepped outside, I've been 7 steps of sanctification. By now, I will still be waiting for the Holy Ghost. But I will not be sanctified till now. So, when you say the Holy Ghost fell, you should are waiting for a spirit that's fallen. That is Luke's language of describing just one experience. There was an external show. That's what it means by fall. It doesn't mean something came from heaven and went this way. No. Look at the next verse. It says, while Peter speaks, the Holy Ghost fell on them which had the word. How did they know? Look at that. And they of the circumcision we believe were astonished, as many as came with Peter. Why were they astonished? Because that all the Gentiles also was poured out what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. How did they know? Next verse. Is it what they saw, what they heard? So how do they tell that people are filled with the Spirit? By seeing or by hearing? By hearing. For they heard them speak with tongues and what? Magnify God. Isn't that interesting? That's how the falling took place. The word fall there means that they expressed the Holy Ghost. That's only my fear. It wasn't that they saw the Holy Ghost like a dove. No. It was that they saw an expression of the Spirit in them. So what Peter said in Acts 2:17, look at Acts 2:17 again, now makes sense. Joel's prophecy that Peter was teaching us from. It shall come pass in the last day, said God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. What will be the result? Your sons and your daughters shall. You know, one of the most beautiful things I've seen in meetings of this nature are those who just got filled with the Spirit and began to prophesy immediately before anybody could corrupt them with religion. Immediately they got filled. Immediately they began to express it. Immediately. There was no break. Just like those who get saved today and they are taking out for evangelism tomorrow, they will be grounded in the truth. So he says, immediately they got filled, they began to speak. Nobody gave them classes on speaking. They just yielded. So whatever Peter taught them, Peter must have said some things, and these people yielded and they began to speak. The Spirit of God gave them what? Utterance. Say amen. Give them utterance. So the responsibility for yielding was theirs. If you don't speak, will anything happen? No. Will you still have the Spirit? Yes. Will the Spirit be an expression? No. So when we come for Holy Ghost meeting, what we call manifestation and demonstration is you and I yielding to the Spirit. What's the primary way of yielding? We begin to speak. How do you begin to speak? You take up power. So when Jesus said you shall receive power, how did they take up power? They began to speak. So let me ask your neighbor. Neighbor, can you speak? Are you sure you can speak? That means you can take up power whenever you want to. So every time you speak with tongues, what are you doing? You are taking up power. You know, it couldn't be Jesus when he told them you shall receive power. Listen carefully. Jesus couldn't be talking about power to heal. Let me explain why. Before Jesus went to the cross, he gave them power to heal. They were healing. So healing people was not new to them. He gave them power to cast out devils. They were casting out devils. So when he said you shall receive power, he wasn't talking about a physical sensation, the power to heal. He was talking about the ability to yield to the Spirit at will, which was never present until Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 32 now. The same Acts chapter 2, verse 32. See, this Jesus, Peter is preaching, has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Next verse. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted. Where is the Father's right hand? In the heavenly one, places where? On high. Isn't that good? So, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father what? The promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see. And let me ask you a question. What they saw and heard, was it from the 120 or from Jesus? That's a trick question. Read that verse again. Let's read it again. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, Jesus is by the right hand of God exalted. Yes or no? Where are you seated also? Okay, so look at that statement. And having received, who receives? Jesus or you? Jesus or you? Okay, so having received of the Father, what did he receive? The promise of the Holy Ghost. He has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. What did they hear on the day of Pentecost? 120 people speaking with tongues. Then Peter now said, those people you heard speaking with tongues, that is Jesus releasing the Holy Ghost. If you understand why, yes, let me say that. So, if you start speaking with tongues, and you start prophesying, and somebody gives a word of knowledge, and then we have gifts of healing and operation, the Bible says, that is Jesus shedding forth the Spirit. Because you won't see Jesus, who you will see is your brother and sister in Christ. Jesus operating through them by the gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Do you understand that now? So, why is it possible? It's by the right hand of God exalted. Where are you also seated? At the right hand of God in the heavenlies. Hallelujah. Where is the power? At the right hand of the Father. Where is on high? Where you are seated right now. Where do you take the power from? Where you are seated right now. Because so that means, though you are physically seated in this physical building, on this chair, spiritually, where are you? In the heavenlies. In with one? Christ Jesus. Say amen. So, your exercise, your faith is acknowledging that reality, acting upon God's word. In the Holy Ghost meeting, we act on the truth of God's word. We don't act on, thank God for feelings, but we act on the truth of God's word. Feelings are good, but the challenge is this. Feelings don't change a reality. That means whether you feel like it or not, some things are a reality. I don't always feel like I'm married. Guess what? I'm married. All I need is a text message or a phone call from the house. Or Samantha picking in Annie's phone and say, Daddy, how are you doing? I need, you remember. You just suddenly, or the thought of maybe you are not, the doubt just that is, your faith will be established. In reality. So some things don't work by feeling, they just work by conviction. You know you are. No, but do you always feel like, no. Do you always feel like you graduated from university? No. Guess what? You graduated. So some things are not a function of feeling. It's a function of what? Reality. The reality is stronger than what? Feeling. Say amen. Yes, stronger than feeling. Somebody says, no matter how tired a woman is, she just told you, I'm very tired. Nobody should wake me. I've put up my phone. If a baby cries, it's amazing where the strength comes from. How many of you know that? And she gets up. You say you are very tired. You should be so tired you've forgotten your mother. How do you remember? So your getting up is not feeling, it's conviction. I am a mother. That sound can only come from one person, my child. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I'm in the spirit. I'm of the spirit. I'm seated with Christ in the heavenlies. I'm born of the spirit. I can express the spirit. Christ is made manifest in and through me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that's why when you say those things to yourself, a shout is not far away. When you meditate on those things, laughter is just behind the scene. You are the one that expresses laughter. You are the one who sings. You are the one who shouts. You are the one who dances. You are the one who runs. You are the one who yields to the Spirit. You are not waiting for the Spirit to move you. You are the one who yields to the move of the Spirit. Say amen. Say, I'm the move of God upon the earth. That's so important. So 120 people, they yielded to the Spirit. Then we saw power manifest because they yielded to the Spirit. So it says, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, they received or they laid hold of the promise. They had shed forth this which you now see and hear. So seeing and hearing is you and I yielding to the Spirit, to the power of God. When we yield, there's a sound to hear. There are things to see. Glory to God. That's what happens. There's always something to see and there's always something to hear. Because the ability dwells in us. Look at Psalm 2 again. Look at Psalm 2 again. Psalm 2 and verse 4. I'm going to start running up. I shared that with us before more than once because this is how the prophecy was fulfilled. Psalm 2 and verse 4. He that sits where? Where is he seated? Where is he seated? Put your hand there, Psalm 110 verse 1. Remember, yielding to the Spirit is acting on God's word. Psalm 110 verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit where? Until I make thy enemies thy footstool. So these are prophecies about who? Jesus. The question is this, has Jesus fulfilled this prophecy? Has he fulfilled it? So in fulfilling that prophecy, he journeyed to the Father's right hand by going through the cross. From the cross, he died and was buried. On the third day, he rose from the dead. When he rose, he ascended. After he ascended, he sat. He arrived at the Father's right hand. But he didn't arrive alone, he took me along. He made me to sit there also. So when he says, he that sits, yeah, it's more than one he that is laughing now. As he's laughing, I am laughing. Because we're seated together in the heavenliness. Far above all principality and power. So on the day of Pentecost, when they began to speak, they couldn't speak until the Spirit was given. The Spirit couldn't be given until Jesus sat. So he that sits and laughs, every time you speak in tongues, you are laughing in the Spirit. What are you doing? You are celebrating afresh your victory over all demonic forces. You are celebrating that you are forever forgiven, never to be condemned again. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's not about feeling. It's about the reality. It's too late. I'm already seated. I'm seated with him in the heavenlies. He that sits always laughs. Laughter is how you measure our dominion. Do you understand? Laughter is how you measure our dominion. The enemies are harassing you in your area. He said, let me laugh a little because we that we are in authority, what we do is laugh. It's been a while since I laugh now. You start laughing. Hallelujah. And as you are laughing, others else comes. There's something you say that it's time to run. Then you begin to run. What are you doing? You are exercising the dominion that you already have. Hallelujah. You see, the problem is that when you don't have a background of the truth, you don't know why we do what we do. You don't know. It's not because those things are not so. It's because you are ignorant of the spiritual realities behind those activities. Every activity of the believer has a spiritual reality. We are not physically just here. We are seated in the heavenlies. We have been placed far above all demonic forces. That's why it can tell us to go ye therefore and preach the gospel. Why? All power has been given unto me where? In heaven and on earth. Glory to God. Glory to God. So to sit is a figure of speech. To sit means now that you are in authority, The Father's right hand means all authority Father has is authority being expressed through you. Glory to God. So laughter is a signature of having control over issues. It means you are not hoping it will work. It has worked already. You are just expressing the workings. You are not like, I hope it works for my good. It has worked for your good. You're already seated in the heavenlies. You are where you can command and things will change. You are already on the good side. If God be for us, who can be against us? That's what it means. Hallelujah. You can look at any situation. Surely there's an end. Surely there's an end. Surely there's an end. My mastery in Christ overcomes the situation. I have the last laugh. I have the last say. A believer is one who has the first laugh and the last laugh. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you have to learn to move away from feeling kind of Christianity. No. We don't do feelings. We do reality. And reality is that we are masters over forces of darkness. Reality is that we have new creations in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation concerning us. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto what? Every good work. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you tell yourself, every language that is used to address those who are filled with the Spirit is always descriptive, and they are always action words, because of the fact that it is now up to you to do something about it. You are the one who speaks. You are the one who shouts. You are the one who runs. You are the one who dances. You are the one who prophesies. You are the one who gives a word of knowledge. You are the one who does so. And it's strictly you desiring and expressing it. Glory to God. He that sits in the heavens. Are you seated in the heavens? Are you seated in the heavens? Is there laughter on your inside? You know, I don't know about you in your experience. In my experience, there are two ways in which I laugh. I'm praying in the morning sometimes. When laughter starts coming, I know by interpretation something is about to happen. Then there are times when the laughter is not even, I mean, I can't even sense of laughter. I just hear news. And the Bible says, he that is seated there, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting the Lord. And I begin to laugh. In the same response, I can make it comfort. I can hit anyone. Whichever way, I'm the one who is laughing. I'm the one who has the victory. I'm the one who has the final say. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's why in these kind of meetings, I beg you in the name of the Lord, don't be full of looking. Be full of doing. Don't be full of observing. See the way he's even jumping. Where's your own jump? Where's your own song? Think about it. Be so ensconced. Be so drunk that your intoxication is affecting others. And somebody looks at you and becomes drunk just by looking at you. That's where it ought to be. And like the way captain is rolling, I must roll that way too. That's what it means. I mean, you observe people, you're like, we have the same spirit, the same party, sitting in the same place, the same Christ. And I'm here. You just join in. If somebody comes to this place, for instance, and they see all of us sitting, and we're seated this morning, what do you think the person will do when they come in? They will come in at what? If you see us standing and our hands are lifted, what will you come in and do? Do you need to be strange if you see us sitting down? You come in and you lie down. I'll sing now for Uncle Vem. Help us. He needs help. That means when you come in and find us doing anything, it is order for you to do what we are doing. Is that not so? So if we are speaking, what should you be doing? If we are singing, what should you be singing? If we are laughing, go. It's just order. It's just order. It's just normal order. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much. What if we are jumping? Even if you like jumping, I will not be left out. Do your own jump. What if you are dancing? What should you do? You see, it's just proper order. We call somebody to come and lead us in worship. In this meeting, we can say, Pastor Tolu, please lead us in laughter. Someone say, which one is this one again? But somebody just led you in worship. You say, you don't have mouth. Like I used to sing. They say, somebody come and lead us in laughter. No. You see, there are some people. When they laugh, you will laugh. Just like, when they are laughing, the Holy Ghost. Wait, let me be sincere with you. It's not that you're laughing in spirit, you're focusing natural. I'm telling you. You first laugh in natural before you get in the spirit. Because you're like, when you say laugh, you say, I know. In fact, you say, this must be God. This can only be God. This is God at work. You say, when people are dancing, you are motivated to dance. When you say, why? Whatever anybody is doing, it belongs to our family. Hallelujah. It belongs to our family. That means we can do the same, act the same, because we're yielding to the spirit. That's how sometimes, if you notice that it's taking you time to flow, look at somebody who's already there. Copy what he's doing. Copying is allowed. Say amen. Copying is allowed in this kind of meeting. Say, I don't know what to do. Look around. Or the joy is everywhere you are doing. Just act on what you are seeing. What do you do? Start laughing. And most of the time, that's how you get in the flow. Some people are say, I have never run before. You know, some things you've never done before, even in all these meetings, that you should be ready to do this time around. You should be ready to do. Tell yourself that this is one aspect of the meeting I've not done before. I'm going to try this time around. Don't say, me, I'm not the laughing type. Are you the victory type? Are you the victory type? Are you the success type? Are you the progress type? And then you're the laughing type. Say, I'm just not somebody who is used to laugh. It's a lie. When they take you for comedy show, now you will laugh. See yourself. When we are in church and we are drinking of the new wine, correct wine, not the one that comes from bottle. You understand? That one is cheap. It has hangover. You know, and people can get drunk at different levels. You know, some people, even if they just make the alcohol, some people, one cup. Have you met Charmaine? After 7 bottles, they will take their key and drive home. Respect. You have not taken half a bottle. You are seeing men as women. You greeted the tree by the side of your car. Uncle, good evening, the tree. You know that your level is very, very. So I have never really been drunk in the world. But in the Holy Ghost, I've been drunk several times. And I tell you, the difference is much. Hallelujah. You see, victory after victory after victory after victory. You settle issues. Even challenges you don't know how to resolve. Addictions broken. Someone you've been trying to get across to, and you've not been able to reach them. The very next day, they just call you. You didn't wonder what happened. You were in the spirit, where all yokes are broken, where all difficulties are removed. So it's a mindset. You make up your mind. I'm going to yield to the spirit. Hallelujah. Let's just yield to the spirit a bit this morning. Let's yield to the spirit a bit this morning. Someone says, how do I start? Well, you can start by laughing. Someone says, you can start by singing. But it's a conscious young man. You just do so. You can start by speaking. You just yield anybody to the spirit. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Pastor T, come and dance in the spirit here just a little bit. That's dancing in the spirit. That's dancing in the spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You don't think you just get up and do a dance. Now get up and do a dance just right now. Wherever you are. Just get up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Sit down for a minute. Somebody says, what are you doing? We are practicing. We are doing rehearsal. When is the main show? Next Sunday. glory to God. What is why you get drunk from home? Hallelujah. You get drunk from home. You start practicing these things at home. Somebody says, why? You're seated in the heavens. You're far above. And as we go on, we look at what the word rejoice really means. Because there's nothing passive about the word rejoice. It's a word that is active. It's a verb. It means to do something with joy. It means to stir up the joy already inside of you. You can do it at will. Hallelujah. What does it mean to rejoice? It sometimes means to shout. Sometimes it means to just jump. Sometimes it means to just run. But the last thing he says is sitting down. Rejoicing never means you're sitting. It's ticking. Hey, Zakalabus of Redi Legiste, Esus of Radikeligana City, Hey, Shabrona Gala City Kiligia, Sanaganda Labras to Kusa Redi Kalaste, Esso, Esso, Esso. And so, brana killing on the kushu because the kissabrina. Let me get the attention. A kugosavrasti giling in here. He thought he stole. He said he stole. He lied about stealing, for he cannot take what belongs to you. What belongs to you is in you. What belongs to you is safe in him. As you are secure in him, so is that blessing. So the blessing will come forth without fail. And he will be ashamed at last. Not everything requires qualification. Some things just require favor. So that which you have desired, the new placement, the favor of God places you there. You are placed there by the favor of God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Enza, bronze, linge, zuzo bros to brugutim. Always, almost, always, almost, always, almost. Big dreams, lofty ideals for this year. Always, almost becomes a reality. It's not always, it's not just almost, it's now a reality. It's now a reality. And your cycle of influence widens. And you step over into a greater place. Into a greater place, in the greater sphere of influence. And many things that were once something you look forward to will become a reality and your experience. Even now. Bans de blue gruste. E siso brude. E ne anta. E kugo nevrasti. Lenio shindro sile brana gatia. Anso subroki le enge. E suzo ngrati le gishte. E sun grati le gige dike shike. Fear is gone. Fear is cast out. The enemy is defeated. Your victory is true. Your victory is true. Your victory is true. Your victory is true. So you are no longer afraid. Say, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of how it will turn out. I have control over the end result. I'm not afraid of how it will turn out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we can just yield and yield. It's been tough, difficult to take that step. As though you're timid. Yeah, that step is the very step that you need to take to make things work. So be strengthened. Take the step. And I will help you. And I will assist you. And I will cause things to work around for your good. So don't observe the weather to see if it's perfect. Observe me. I am your perfection. I'll bring you fully as you take that step. So take the step. I don't know who you are, but just take the step. Take the step. Take the step. By faith, take the step. And I'll be there to help you. I'll be there to assist you. Take the step. And everything will work out well. Glory to God. Glory to God. There's no fear in love. For perfect love, cast out fear. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, if it's yours, just receive it. Esugo, Lendi Gros, Efrestike, Enze, Zevro Shivro Stekise, Ezusubruko Lengande. Observing the symptoms, observing the physical proof, you see no sign. By the time the sign comes, you'll be far gone. By the time the sign comes, you'll be far gone. By the time the sign comes, you'll be far gone. By the time the sign comes, you'll be far gone. For the enemy will no longer be able to tamper or hinder or stop that which I've done. In and through you, so stay in the word, rest in me, and I'll bring all to pass for your benefit. And any old sabran you coast, ese froste, lenze fracutoliga diste, esiso subrodica. There's an unusual favor for somebody who is an accountant, someone who is into accounting. Well, just receive it, just receive it, just receive it. Glory to God, glory to God, just receive it, glory to God. And Anjiko, Zubrana Seligeishte. Kobrunze, Vristala Nakashte. Eh, Spoka. Ahashibo, the Suzubrogeliana Gastike, Sizibridi Kalagishi Giburudigananda. Oh, how can it be? How can it be? How is it possible? In a season when many have been laid off, you have been set up. Barite Seto, Lanangre, Kesusubrokus, the Kilegishi. More is added to what you already have. More is added to what you already have. For there's a rising up. There's a rising up. There's a rising up where you're concerned. Esugo lomba sidi hit. Esugo mnanangala sidi. Esubrana gala sikedi here. No physical sign on the outside. But I've shown you more than once. that which you have desired. In a dream, I showed you. You saw what you desired in the dream. You saw yourself with it. The dream is not your reality. It's not your reality. That dream is not your reality. You've seen it already. It is yours. Embrace it because it is yours. Eshugunda. Ele Cristo. Zizi subrata la gishtekes. Oh, safra digili genishta. Enzo subranike. You have forgotten, but he hasn't forgotten. Asugunda grestike sisivris to gudu. Ombro, 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 ombro. And when it manifests, you will remember. This was once a dream. Now it's a reality. Now it's a reality. Glory to God forever. Glory to God forever. Hallelujah. Someone has a song? Someone has a song for us? Someone has a song for us? Glory to God. Someone has a song? Glory to God. Glory to God. We give you praise, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I have a dance. It's the dawning of the day. I dance my dance. I know my God has made a way. I have a dance. Oh, the devil lost again. I dance my dance. I've got victory in Jesus' name. Oh, I dance my dance. I've got a victory in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Let's have our seat. Don't go back. Don't go back. Just come. Just stay. There's time for everything. When I said someone has a song, many times the song will contain an instruction, direction for us. That is what we're meant to act upon. It's part of the meeting. Notice the similarity of the two songs. That means at this instance in the meeting, that's what we're meant to do. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Now, as the meeting unfolds, be very quick to act on the word of God. It is still God's words sung forth. It just came forth in the song. Somebody else could have gotten up and just said it. But it's still instruction. Hallelujah. What do you do? Be quick to act on it. Be quick to yield to it. That is the stuff and the substance of Holy Ghost meetings. That's what determines how far we can go. Again, number one, when you're coming for a meeting like this, avoid offense. That's not the day to fight with your spouse. That's not the day to be upset with your kids or somebody at the entrance of church. Don't come in with a carryover. Come in full of the Spirit because you want to go far. Hallelujah. In the things of God, you want to go far. You want to experience new depths flowing with God. Don't come passive. Come very active, very willing. That the smallest instance, you're ready to yield. That's the fastest way to flow with the Spirit of God and get the very best. I'm telling you by the word of God, and I'm telling you by experience. There has been no challenge. No matter how terrible, how difficult that I've faced in life, that I've not come out of by yielding to the Spirit. Because when we yield, we're yielding to victory. Hallelujah. We're yielding to victory. And that's so important. Give her the mic. Let her sing.
I will dance in the Spirit. Walking in me.
Hallelujah. If you can sit down, sit down again. If you can sit down. Brother God, come. Come and stand here. There's something you're supposed to play out. It will settle upon you shortly. When it settles, just play instinctively. Okay? It's going to settle upon you shortly. It's a Holy Ghost meeting, isn't it? You are in Miss Adeshi. Minister to her. Glory to God. 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 Hallelujah. Will. Okay. And you will move out. It's going to bless us, but you're going to also personally move out of a particular confinement. Okay, I will explain some things later. Just go with the flow. Okay? Bring forth the message. Tongues, interpret. We'll go from there. Are you ready? After I please. Go ahead and play.
Two things. The first one is when the word says with joy we will draw out of the well. The Lord is saying the well is filled with all that you need. It's filled. So it's for you to draw as much as you want. As much as you want from the well. You just keep drawing because there is no end to what is in the well. There is no end. You can't exhaust what is in the well. Praise God. The second one, when the word came that there's going to be surgeries. There is going to be surgeries in your physical body. But the surgery that God wants to do is in your heart, your mind, and your soul. The kind of surgery that will take you from doubt. That it will remove doubt. Whether you see that the case is really bad, it doesn't matter. That kind of surgery that will remove doubt, that will remove unbelief from your heart, that when you come next Sunday, you just come believing, you just come receiving, you just come expressing who you are in God. Praise the Lord. And I had a song, and the song says, I love you forever. I love you forever. I love you forever, Lord. I love you forever. Yes, we love you forever. I love you forever, Lord. One more time. I love you forever. I love you forever. I love you forever, Lord. And because of what He has done, we give glory to God.
Hallelujah. If you have pain in any part of your body, pain you can feel right now. Right, you can feel it right now. Let me see your hand. You can feel it right now. Just come. You can feel it right now. Recently. praise this morning. I thank him for his power, for his glory, for his might, for strength, for healings, for miracles. Thanking for mighty testimonies. Already started. It's going to increase and increase and increase. The glory of God in manifestation. People healed, set free from every form of bondage, from every hindrance, set free by the power of God. Father, we are grateful and we're thankful. Thank you for the things that unfold in the days to come. Thank you for your glory and manifestation in these meetings. Thank you for the month of August. Thank you for the acceleration that we experience, the progress. Thank you for your favor is made manifest the lives of every man and every woman. Thank you because men and women are remembered for good in the name of Jesus. They are remembered for good. They are singled out supernaturally for favor. They are singled out supernaturally as a preference. The fragrance of Christ is upon everyone here, and that supernatural preference that is seen on them in the name of the Lord Jesus. We give you praise, Father. Blessed be your name forever. In Jesus' precious name, amen.